Corruption is theft from the poor, warn the bishops of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference. In a recently published pastoral letter dedicated to the scourge of corruption, the bishops of the SACBC point out that corruption harms the whole community. When bribery becomes a way of life for civil servants, business people or church personnel, their real responsibilities are put aside in pursuit of making money for themselves. And the document continues, outlining how corruption leads us to become cynical about each other, to distrust the people we regard as our leaders and as honourable people. I spoke to the president of the SACBC, Cape Town Archbishop Stephen Brislin, who says the letter was triggered by the need to address what is an enormous issue around the world, as well as in South Africa.
Corruption is an enormous issue universally throughout the whole world, and it is much the same in South Africa. There have been a number of cases in South Africa that has brought corruption to the fore, and obviously we are living in this country in a situation of great poverty, and we do see issues of corruption that are occurring, and it is these that we are saying that unless we are able to root out corruption in our society, in our country, then we are really stealing from the poor, and we are preventing the advancement of poor people. We are preventing people reaching their full potential as human beings. Corruption, of course, is endemic. It's at every level of society, and therefore we've got to look at it in the broadest possible way.
So the Southern African bishops got together. That means the bishops from what countries exactly?
The Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference consists of Botswana, South Africa and Swaziland. There are 30 bishops in total. Of those, there are two from Botswana, one in Swaziland, of course, that is a vacant diocese at the moment. And then there are 26 dioceses in South Africa and one auxiliary bishop.
The letter, I understand, was distributed at parishes across the area and read during the homilies or after the homily of the priests. Have you had any kind of response?
Yes, the response has been very positive, and people have expressed their appreciation that the church is speaking out about these issues. Some people have indicated that they feel that the letter could have been even stronger, and perhaps there is validity in that. But our reason for issuing this letter at this moment was particularly to challenge our communities to say that if there is corruption in society, then obviously it's a lot of concern for us as well, because we've got to make our own commitment to say that we will not participate in corruption. And I think that was one of our primary aims, to challenge our parishioners to commit themselves not to participate in corrupt actions.
Reading the letter, I noticed that you quoted Pope Francis.
Yes, and Pope Francis, of course, made that very strong statement where he said that corruption is worse than other sins, because when it becomes a habit, it actually hardens the heart. And I think that this is very true. I think corruption is a very selfish action. It is saying that I want to enrich myself. I want to enjoy the benefits and the fruits that other people can't have. Whereas we are saying that, in fact, if we are corrupt people, we are stealing from the poor, we are preventing the development of society, and corruption actually hurts the most vulnerable of people, and it harms the whole community. And therefore, it is a poison and evil that we've got to work together to eradicate in our society.
I also understand that you have encouraged Christians to embrace the Exposed campaign.
That is correct. And Exposed, as you know, is an international campaign. And I think that just indicates as well that the whole issue of corruption is an international issue. And I think that we've also got to focus South Africans and people in Swaziland and Botswana on that as well, that this is not only a local issue, that corruption is affecting every country in the world.
I particularly liked the last sentence, and it's the one you yourself quoted, saying corruption is theft from the poor. That is particularly poignant in a country such as yours, where there are so many poor people and where the gap between the poor and the rich is very wide.
Yes, talking about South Africa itself, I think that we are seeing reports that we have the widest gap between the rich and the poor in the world. And so you've got fabulously rich people living side by side with the most poor of people. And, of course, there's a long history in South Africa of corruption. I think that there is a certain fallacy that exists in the minds of some people that corruption only started in South Africa after we achieved democracy in 1994. But in fact, our colonial past and the apartheid past were highly corrupt systems. And therefore, even the struggle against apartheid was not free from corruption. So we have this embedded tradition, if you like, in our country. And therefore, we've got to understand that we're fighting a thing that is very much entrenched in the mindset of people.
Archbishop, in April, South Africans go to the polls in the 20th anniversary from the first democratic vote. Is this a way of accompanying them or even setting them off on this journey towards a free and fair election?
Yes, this is a way of preparing the way for those elections, and we will be issuing another pastoral letter or pastoral statement in celebration of our 20 years of democracy. I think what we would like for people in South Africa to do is to consider very carefully when they are going to the polls who they should be voting for in terms of issues and the issues which affect our country. There can be a tendency, of course, to say, well, you know, traditionally we would like to vote for this particular party or the other party, but we've actually got to ask ourselves which political party will best address the issues that are most important for our country at the moment. And therefore we're trying to assist people to actually go through a process of thought and of saying who should we actually vote for according to our consciences.
Pope Francis has also quite recently reminded Christians, believers, Catholics that taking an interest in politics and voting the right way is very important.
It is absolutely essential because obviously politicians are affecting our daily lives and they hold the solutions in their hands to many of our difficulties, at least potentially so. When we talk about corruption, of course, we mustn't again fall into the trap of thinking it only affects politicians or only government departments. Corruption affects the private and the public sectors. It affects people at every level of life. And of course, we know ourselves that even within the church, there has been corruption and will be corruption in the future, I suppose. But I think that the thing is that we do need to understand that there's great temptations for people to adopt corrupt practices. And one of the issues, of course, that has affected us very much in South Africa is the whole establishment and the building of Nkandla, the presidential home, and where millions and millions of rands have been spent already in building a place for our present president. And we are certainly questioning of how can such a great amount of money be spent on a presidential home when there are people who are suffering with no home, with no house at all.
Courageously, you have underlined that corruption is also in the church and that a change of attitude is required in the church as well.
Yes, I suppose there are different levels of church as well in terms of our parishes and running of dioceses. There are provisions made in canon law and obligations within canon law that we have the proper finance councils in place. And I think that that's very, very important. But obviously, we have got so many projects running and we are getting donor money, money from funders. We are stewards of that money and we must ensure that it is the beneficiaries of those projects that benefit from the funding. And therefore, we've got to make sure that we have the right processes in place, the right systems in place to ensure that there is no corruption. And should there be a case of corruption, that we immediately take the appropriate action.
Thank you very much, Archbishop Brislin. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Just to say thank you very much for this interview and to appeal to all your listeners, wherever they may be in the world, to say, let us work for the common good and let us really fight this great evil of corruption that we may truly promote the values of honesty and integrity, because we are called to love our neighbor and to work for that common good. If we are engaging in corrupt activity, in whatever form it is, then we are actually defeating what we believe in, love of neighbor and working for the common good.